Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Recently, we interviewed a neonatologist and pediatrician, Dr. Paul Byrne, founder of the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit at the Children's Medical Center in St. Louis. And Dr. Byrne and I talked about the many cases of people being pronounced brain dead by doctors and then unexpectedly waking up, even when they're about to remove their organs, which would actually kill them. And so what we're going to talk about today is another topic where the medical community tells us that the baby cannot survive an ectopic pregnancy and that the baby will die, the mother will die, a very, very bleak outcome with no hope. Well, before we get to the ectopic pregnancy issue, just a reminder of Dr. Paul Byrne and I, the show we did was about the 13-year-old girl from California, Jahi McMath, and her doctor said she was brain dead. And so the effort now to save her, to stop them from killing her by removing her organs. Well, here's a list from LifeSite News. We've covered some of these on this program. In Britain, four doctors declared a teenager, Stephen Thorpe, brain dead, telling the father he would never recover, he was brain dead, and the father refused to consent to allow his boy's organs to be harvested. And 5 weeks later, Stephen Thorpe left the hospital almost completely recovered, by the way, with the help of other doctors. Do you remember the Quebec woman in 2011, Madeleine Guérin, who doctors said, hey, she's a perfect organ donor. They diagnosed her as brain dead. Her family wasn't convinced she was dead. During the disagreement, the next day, she woke up, opened her eyes, and began eating yogurt. People asked me why, and it's because she was hungry. That's why she started eating yogurt. 2011, an Australian woman declared brain dead, regained consciousness after the family fought for weeks against their doctor's recommendation that he turn off her ventilator. July 2013, a New York woman was pronounced brain dead by doctors, and then she unexpectedly awoke just as her organs were about to be removed for transplant. The doctors would have killed her. On Danish TV, there was a documentary, The Girl Who Refused to Die, a 19-year-old girl, Karina Melcher, who awoke after doctors declared her brain dead and were urging the family to donate her organs. February 2008, 65-year-old woman taken home to die. Relatives were told by the doctor she was brain dead, and the family began planning her funeral when she woke up. And there's other cases. We're documenting these at realscienceradio.org/braindead. So there's something similar with ectopic pregnancies. It is said the government and our medical establishment will say, they do say on their websites, that the baby cannot survive an ectopic pregnancy. In fact, if you look at the official websites, WebMD, eMedicine, the Mayo Clinic's website, and even PubMed Health, you know, that's the U.S. Department of Health's web portal, all of their websites state that the child cannot survive an ectopic pregnancy. They all state that. Now, ironically, the Department of Health's own PubMed, where they publish journal papers, they contain several professional articles with titles like this one. Listen to this. Full-term intra-abdominal pregnancy with living mother and child. You know what that is? That's an ectopic pregnancy. Intra-abdominal. That means the baby didn't develop in the uterus, in the womb. The baby developed in the abdomen and was delivered and is alive. That paper is not on the part of their website that the public normally sees. What the public normally sees is the statement that the child cannot survive an ectopic pregnancy. That simply is not true. Now, in Alabama, Personhood Alabama, you know, here in Colorado, we have Personhood Colorado. Personhood USA's headquarters is here in Denver. And in Alabama, there is Personhood Alabama. Bill Fortenberry is with Personhood Alabama. He is a researcher extraordinaire. He has published a paper titled Ectopic Personhood. Ectopic Personhood. And to discuss the reports of ectopic babies who have survived, we have now on the line with us, what an honor to speak with a friend of Real Science Radio, Bill Fortenberry. Bill, welcome to Real Science Radio.
Thank you, Bob. It's an honor to be here. I've been listening to Real Science Radio for quite a while and really honored to actually be on and speaking with you.
Well, I'm just thrilled. And Bill, you and I have met in person when you came out for a Personhood meeting some months back here in Colorado. So it's great to talk to you also. Could you begin to share with us the reports of successful ectopic pregnancies? I know some of them go back to like almost 100 years ago. Can you start there?
Yeah, that's right. We have reports that are in the scientific literature that go all the way back to 1809 for live births from ectopic pregnancies. That report was given in an article in 1933, two New York doctors, Dr. Hellman and Dr. Simon. These were obstetricians in New York.
All right.
That researched ectopic pregnancies. And they went all the way back in the literature to 1809. And they listed every single ectopic pregnancy with a live birth that occurred from 1809 through 1933. And then they added five more that they had experienced in their own hospital.
Wow.
And they listed 316 of them that had occurred in those years.
Wow, 316 live births from ectopic pregnancies, and that takes us back not quite, but almost 100 years ago, and I think that was before the first neonatal, the NICU, right, the neonatal intensive care units. That was before the advent of that kind of quality care, isn't that true?
Right, yeah, it was long before the first neonatal units, before even the discovery of penicillin for most of those.
Wow.
Penicillin wasn't discovered until 1928. For these children to survive shows that they had a really good chance at survival from the outset.
Mm. And so what, half of these children survived then beyond their first week of life, but with today's modern medical care, it's likely that many more would have survived.
That's right. Yeah. And as we get into modern day reports, you see hardly any cases in which the children die. In fact, there is actually one born just this past couple months ago, August 8th of 2013.
Hmm.
There was a lady in Missouri. Katie Elizabeth Snodgrass was born in Missouri on August 8th, 2013. She was an ectopic pregnancy, had no complications, nice, easy C-section delivery.
Wow, that's really encouraging to hear. In fact, in your paper, Ectopic Personhood, and what a great title, Bill Fortenberry, just wonderful, Ectopic Personhood, you list some specific cases and then many other studies of those who have survived. But where could someone find your paper online? I believe it's at your Personhood Initiative website. Is that right?
That's right. It's at personhoodinitiative.com, and it's the first article on the articles page.
So just click on articles. So personhoodinitiative.com, click on articles, and it's right there at the top of the list, ectopic personhood. So could you give us examples from your paper? Thanks for telling us about little Katie, but could you give us other examples? You have just a few starting back in 1999 of babies who have survived, specific babies, and then we'll get back to more of the studies.
All right. Yeah, we've got one. Ronan Ingram is the first one I mentioned. He was delivered by C-section in September of 1999. Ectopic pregnancy had implanted in his mother's fallopian tubes. The tubes ruptured and he grew into the abdominal cavity.
Now that seems to be, I think as we'll go on, we'll see that that's somewhat common, that a fallopian tube ectopic pregnancy, the baby who survives ends up growing to term or thereabouts in the abdominal cavity. So it is a fallopian ectopic pregnancy where the baby eventually survives. By the way, Ronan's story was publicized by the BBC, and this is a typical example. And I love how you document all of this, Bill Fortenberry. You do such a fabulous job. But this is an example where they call the baby a miracle baby, and that's sort of common. When this happens, at first they deny that it ever happens, Like they'll say, nobody recovers from a brain dead diagnosis. That's not true. And babies do survive ectopic pregnancies. And then when it happens, they say it's ectopic. But there's quite a few of these babies who survive. Could you continue with your list?
Yeah, next we have Sage Dalton, who was also born in 1999, in July of 1999. She developed in the amniotic membrane outside of her mother's womb.
Wow.
Going forward from that, May of 2008, over in India, we had Durga Sangharaja. She was born, she spent a full 9 months in her mother's ovary, which that's, even in my research of survival, that's almost unheard of. I've only heard of one other case.
Wow.
Of one surviving in the ovary.
So little Durga is one of two, as far as we know, and thanks to your research. So she's right. Special, right? She's a special
right.
Child. All right. Who else do we have?
We've also got Billy Jones, born in 2008. He developed in the abdominal cavity. The reports just go on and on. I've got over 400 cases that I've documented. Most of those are listed on the website.
Over 400 cases. By the way, Billy's case is reported by the Daily Mail, which is a major news outlet over in England. So yeah, these reports, over 400 reports, and like you said, up to and including 2013, we're just now into 2014. So doctors will say, just like, in fact, you don't only claim that WebMD and the Mayo Clinic and PubMed, that they say that the baby cannot survive an ectopic pregnancy, but you provide the links to their webpages where they claim this. So many babies can survive ectopic pregnancies, but there's obviously some kind of bias that's causing the entire medical industry to claim that babies can't survive an ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah, that's right. It's very unfortunate. And I've tried to wrap my brain around why it is that they would do that. I've asked people, and the closest thing I've gotten to an answer is that the ones that actually know that the children can survive, they'll admit, yes, the child can survive, but it's safer for the mom for us to go ahead and kill the child at 7 or 8 weeks than to let the child progress all the way up to 28 weeks and deliver him as a C-section delivery.
Wow. And as we continue, we will go from the topic of the baby's survival to the mother's survival. And I think in your research, you even show that when moms have been treated with a traditional approach, even with a ruptured fallopian tube, they can have a better success rate and survival rate than when they do a typical abortion. Let's get to that in a moment. But first, Bill, could we go back to the studies? You started out mentioning a study from 1935 or so, but then there have been more recent studies regarding ectopic pregnancies and children surviving. Could you tell us about those?
Sure. Coming up all the way up to 1996, there was a study done in Chile for just that particular hospital there in Chile that they were looking at. They had 11 abdominal pregnancies. Those are ectopic pregnancies in the abdomen.
All right.
And of those, there were 7 live births, and then 5 of those children survived the neonatal period and were released to go home.
Whoa. Now, okay, let me process that for a moment, because that just seems extraordinary compared to the common claim that ectopic pregnancies, the baby always dies. So in this one study, there was 11 ectopic pregnancies at that single hospital. And how many led to a live birth?
7 of them were live births. And then 5 of those survived the neonatal period and went home with their parents.
Oh, my. That's just stunning. That is so encouraging, exciting. And I feel a little bit annoyed or even angry that women are lied to, mothers are lied to, fathers are lied to by the medical community. Just like when they say no one recovers from being brain dead. Well, many people have recovered after doctors had said they were brain dead. So there is a bias, it seems, against life and toward killing innocent people that actually is prevailing over and above science and medical judgment. Do you have another study for us?
Yeah, in 2008, there was a study released that studied 158 abdominal pregnancies worldwide, Now, this includes third world countries. Unfortunately, that's where most of the abdominal pregnancies are reported. So their facilities aren't quite up to par with American facilities. So a lot of these children don't survive the neonatal period after being born. This one did not report how many live births there were, but it said that 28% of the children out of that 158 children, 28% of them survived the perinatal period and were sent home with their parents.
Wow. So in other words, it would have been even a higher percentage survived to live birth. It might have been 30, 40, 50%.
2010, there was an article that said that reports ranged anywhere from 5% all the way up to some reports that calculated 60% of a survival rate for children being born from ectopic pregnancies.
And by the way, that article appeared in the journal of a particular medical college. So they're saying that studies have shown between a 5% and a 60% survival rate for ectopic pregnancies?
Yep. Yeah, it's surprising with 60% of a survival rate reported occasionally that anyone would even consider to call these miracle births.
Yeah, right. Because when things happen with such routine frequency, we wouldn't normally say it's a miracle. In fact, the extraordinary thing here is that the truth is withheld from mothers, from families. That's what's extraordinary. And the fact that babies are resilient and they cling to life, that's the way God made us. God made us to try to survive. And so a tubal pregnancy is obviously the most common type of ectopic pregnancy that we hear about. Could you talk to us about the different kinds of ectopic pregnancy?
Yeah, there are three basic kinds of ectopic pregnancies. You have tubal pregnancies. They're the most common. After that, you have what's called abdominal pregnancies. And they're broken up into smaller classes. The abdominals are based on what organ the child attaches to. And then you also have ovarian pregnancies, and those are extremely rare. Like I said, there are only two cases that I know of the children actually proceeding to term in an ovarian pregnancy.
Hey, Bill, I'm so thrilled that you work with Personhood Alabama. I know this is not your profession. You're not an MD. You're not a medical researcher. But could it be that you know more about this topic than almost anyone in the world? Is that possible?
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to claim that myself.
No, but maybe some of the folks who authored some of these other studies might compete with you for that title. But I'm just so thrilled. When I read your paper first time just a couple months ago, we've been trying to schedule to get you on. I'm just so thrilled to have this information, because information is power. And truth is powerful, and the truth shall set you free. You know, there are people who want to honor God, and they end up killing their baby because they've been told, well, your baby's already dead, essentially, which is, of course, not true. So the distinction between when people hear that a fallopian tube ectopic pregnancy will always die, some people have heard that, whereas rarely an abdominal pregnancy might survive. Where does that come from, that confusion where people will say, well, the fallopian tube babies always die?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Even pro-life websites like the Association of Pro-Life Physicians, on their website, they say that there are several cases in the medical literature where abdominal pregnancies have survived. But then they follow that up with the claim that there are no cases of ectopic pregnancies in a fallopian tube surviving. And what that is just a little bit of a misunderstanding about the medical literature and the language that is used.
Mm-hmm.
The way a fallopian tube ectopic pregnancy progresses is the tubes are extremely small. And so as the child grows, he'll rupture through the tube and he will then become an abdominal pregnancy as he ruptures through the tube and grows into the abdominal cavity.
Right.
And that was actually documented in a 1982 article entitled Embryo Transfer in Vivo by Dr. Clark. He showed that tubal pregnancies, not only will they rupture the tube and continue growing, but they can actually rupture the tube, dislodge from that location, and drift into another position in the abdominal cavity and continue to grow from there. When you read that an abdominal pregnancy has resulted in a live birth, you have to determine whether that was a primary abdominal pregnancy, meaning it started in the abdominal cavity, or a secondary abdominal pregnancy, meaning that it started in a fallopian tube and then transplanted into the abdominal cavity. And a lot of times that's not reported in the literature, or especially not in the popular news articles.
Well, Dr. Clark, who wrote that article, Dr. John Clark, he published this in the Journal of the National Medical Association. So this is a significant resource. And so you mentioned the Association of Pro-Life Physicians. You know, our a dear friend of Real Science Radio, Dr. Patrick Johnston, he runs that organization. And so I'm so thrilled. Like you said, even we pro-lifers might miss finer points. And so saying there are no cases of ectopic pregnancies in a fallopian tube surviving, actually, they do survive, but then eventually it's out of the fallopian tube.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Dr. Johnson. I actually got to talk to him about this on a couple occasions. At first, he was kind of hesitant, didn't think that everything that I was saying was exactly right. And then I got to speak with him again just a month or two ago, and he came running up to me and said, Bill, I got to tell you, I've been researching and redoing your research and trying to prove whether it's right or not. He said, I agree with you 100%.
Wow.
Everything you said was absolutely correct.
Praise the Lord. And that's what we know about Patrick Johnston. He is not only a tremendous leader, a principled Christian, father, husband, homeschool dad, but he is humble. You know, and to be humble, we have to be able to be corrected. So I'm so thrilled. Now, could we talk about the mom? Because it's also said that the mom will die. In fact, Bill, I don't think we need to mention the name of a major Christian ministry, a national, even an international organization, that this past year published an article saying abortion is always wrong except for the life of the mother. I know that we made an effort to reach them. Others did. And right now, that article is no longer on their website. We're thrilled about that. We're thrilled that it's down. We don't know exactly why it's down, but we are thrilled that it is. And that's unusual for their site to take down an article. So praise God that they're no longer at least actively claiming that it's okay to intentionally kill a baby in some circumstances. But could you talk to us about the mother? Of course, we love the mother and the baby. We never kill the mother to save the baby, and you don't kill the baby to save the mother. You try to save both. But tell us about the mom and an ectopic pregnancy.
Sure. Yeah. The mothers are often told, if you have certain pains and you suspect you have an ectopic pregnancy, get to a doctor right away, because, I mean, this could take your life right away and there's no hope. You have to get an abortion. And it's a bit of a scare tactic, and it's hard to overcome that fear. It's so ingrained in our culture that ectopic pregnancy is a death sentence for a woman.
Right.
But really, the numbers just don't match up with that claim. There's about 108,000 ectopic pregnancies every year in America, and there are about 26 ectopic-related deaths per year. That was from 91 to 99. There are about 26 per year of deaths related to an ectopic pregnancy. And so the abortionists go around saying, if we had not had abortion for all these cases, then, you know, 108,000 women would have died over these 10 years. That's really an exaggeration. When we look at the data a little more closely, we find out that there are lots of hospitals that have women come in that have already had a rupture of their ectopic pregnancy, and those women do not die. They're able to receive a treatment that prevents them from dying even after their ectopic pregnancy has ruptured.
If we just extrapolate it backward, as, you know, just an observer here, a radio host, it seems like we would have had a tremendously higher death rate from pregnancies in the past if, in fact, these tubal pregnancies were all to lead to death.
That's right. And especially when abortion was not widely available in America, and you know, especially when it was illegal, we would have seen huge amounts of deaths from ectopic pregnancies, but we didn't.
Right.
We
far higher than anything historically known to exist. You quote different studies produced by hospitals and clinics, and you run the numbers and show that that claim is simply not true in your paper, which again, we'll link to from our realscienceradio.com website. It's interesting where you get to a worldwide study in 2002. Can you tell us about that study? Because these women were treated with a technique developed a while ago in Germany about even when there is a rupture and when the woman could die of blood loss in her abdomen. Tell us about that study.
Yeah, back in the early 1900s, a German doctor discovered this process specifically for treating ruptured ectopic pregnancies. And what he would do is when the pregnancy ruptured and the woman was bleeding out into her abdomen, he would stick a siphon into her abdomen, siphon the blood out, run it through a filter, and then pump it right back into the mother's body. And it works similar to a dialysis machine where it takes the blood out, just filters it and puts it right back in.
Auto-transfusion, right.
And it was called auto-transfusion. In 2002, they did a study of 632 ruptured ectopic pregnancies.
Worldwide.
That were treated, right, worldwide, that were treated with auto-transfusion. And there was only a single instance of death out of 632 cases.
Oh, my. And it's tragic, that one death, but praise God, 631 lives saved. And
that's right.
How about when they do an abortion for an ectopic pregnancy? That doesn't have 100% success rate.
Right. The most preferred method for aborting the child in the case of an ectopic pregnancy is the use of a drug called methotrexate. Methotrexate is only effective 99.6% of the time. What happens when methotrexate is not effective is the child continues to grow and you end up with a ruptured ectopic pregnancy, which they say is going to produce instant death. But what they do when there's a ruptured ectopic pregnancy is they just immediately fall back to auto-transfusion and use the same method that has been used in 632 other cases.
I see. So you just answered that more accurately than I did. Thank you for clarifying that. Bill, there's simply not the data to sustain the misinformation that the baby will die, the mother will die. There's never a requirement to kill the baby. You quote Surgeon General C. Everett Koop, who said in his 36 years of pediatric surgery, he's never known one instance where the child had to be aborted to save the mother's life. I want to thank you, Bill Fortenberry, for your tremendous work on this paper, Ectopic Personhood. Thank you, Bill.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to come on and discuss it.
Well, you're very welcome. That was Bill Fortenberry with Personhood, Alabama. This is Bob Benyart for Real Science Radio. Please check out our website, realscienceradio.com, and click on the store. And by buying our products or making a donation, you'll help us stay on the air. May God bless you.
Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the real science radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.